This recording features Rabbi Pesach Kron, noted author and Moel. His theme is Sfira, the countdown to Shavuos.
The Chofetz Chaim tells us a very, very interesting vart on a bracha achreina that all of us make very often. All of you know that when you eat a piece of candy, you eat enough of a shear and you're going to make the bar in the fashais, we all say the bracha achreina, Boirei nefoshais rabois v'chesreinan. The Eibishter created many living beings v'chesreinan and their deficiencies. So the Chofetz Chaim asks, why couldn't Hashem make us all perfect? What was the point of making every person with a certain deficiency? I don't know anything about art. I can't draw. I know very little about chemistry. My wife is the math major. I mean, certain things I know, but there are a lot of things that I can't do. And I'm sure each of us can think of certain things that we can't do. What was the point of creating people with deficiencies? So the Chofetz Chaim gives a terrific answer, and he says that it is, the answer is in the right, in the following words. L'hachyos bohem nefesh kol chai. To maintain the life of every being. And this is to be understood as follows. For example, let's say you have a Rebbe, a wonderful Rebbe, right? We just met Rabbi Rubin, a wonderful 7th grade Rebbe. I had the schus to meet his brother Chagi in South Africa. Tremendous Rebbeim. But if let's say the Rebbe needs food, what is he going to do? He has to go to the farmer. If the farmer needs clothes to be mended, he's going to have to go to the tailor. And if the tailor needs his children to be healed, he's going to have to go to the doctor. And if the doctor needs education for his child, he's going to bring him back to the Rebbe. So the New York Telephone Company is right. We're all connected. And that's the reason. That's the reason the Chofetz Chaim tells us that we are created with deficiencies. So that there should be an achdus in Klal Yisrael. Because if everyone was perfect and everyone could provide all the needs that he needed, then we wouldn't need each other. So we are created in such a way so that we are connected and that we are dependent on each other. There's a very interesting story that happened with Rav Meir Shapiro. Of course, all of you know Rav Meir Shapiro was the originator of the idea of the Daf Yomi. So say he was a very, very bright person, very quick and very sharp. And it happened one time that a person came over to him and said to him, you know that there is a Gemara in Yevamos that is an absolute racist Gemara. What do you mean? He says, the Gemara says like this. In Yevamos Samach Aleph Amar Aleph, the Gemara tells us that there's a Pasuk in Yecheskel Lamedalad, Pasuk Lamedalad. V'atein tzoini. Now you, my sheep, tzoin marisi, the sheep of my flock, Adam atem. The Rabbani Shalom is talking to Klal Yisrael and calls them Adam. So the Gemara says, Atem Kuruyim Adam, Yidden, you are called Adam, Ayid, Heista Mensch. The Ein Oivde Kachavim Kuruyim Adam. Goyim are not considered a mensch. So this man says to Rav Shapiro, to Rav Meir Shapiro, what do you mean? A goy is not a mensch. A goy, maybe he's not religious, maybe he's not Erla. But what do you mean? He's not a mensch. After all, Yitzir Kabo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eibishter created, or everybody, even Goyim. So what do you mean a goy is not a mensch? How does the Gemara talk like that? So Rav Meir Shapiro told him a terrific teretz. And he said like this, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Atem, all of you, all of Yidden are Adam, are called one person. That means that if we hear a lecture and we hear that the people in Eretz Yisrael are in danger, we're going to feel pain here. If we hear in France that a Yiddish cemetery was desecrated, then a Yid in Dallas is going to feel the pain. If a Yid in England hears that something happened to a Yid in Crown Heights, he's going to feel the pain. Because Adam, Atam, we're all one person. We all feel the pain of every Yid, no matter where he is in the veld. But what does a goy in Dallas care what happens to a goy in Denmark? What does a goy in Brooklyn care what happens to a goy in Turkey? It's a different nation, it's different people, but us, we are really Adam Atem. We are really one person. And because we are one person, that's the reason that we have to remain connected, and that's the reason that we have an achrayus to be careful in the inyan of Ben Adam HaChaveiroi. But it's even more than that. All of you know the famous pasuk in Shemois Yutes Beis that tells us that when Klal Yisrael was at Har Sinai, It says Vayichan Shom Yisrael. Klal Yisrael rested. Should have said Vayachanu. They rested. But we all know the famous Rashi. Rashi says, why does it say Vayichan one as one Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad? In other words, before Klal Yisrael was able to be Makabel the Torah, they had to be in unity. They had to be as one. That was the prerequisite of Kabbalah Satayra. And that's why tonight we're going to speak about the inyan of Kovet Chaverim, Kovet Zebezeh, to become one so that we can be Makabel the Torah properly. You know, a number of years ago, I felt this tremendous achdus. Those of you who had the schus to be in Madison Square Garden in April of 1990, whoever thought of that idea that there should be one united minyan, in my opinion, he's got a straight ticket to Olam Haba. Right after all those speeches, 20,000 people in Madison Square Garden, everybody davening one Ma'ariv. I'll never forget for the rest of my life that Shema Yisrael. I started crying like I cried by Ne'ilah. And I thought at that time, all the Yidden, all the Yidden, every different type of Yid that you can imagine, everybody saying Shema Yisrael. I thought, you know, now I understand what it means in the Haggadah. A famous pshat in the Haggadah, which many of us may have heard. Ilu kervonu lahar Sinai v'loinosan lanu atayrah dayenu. If Hashem would have just brought us to Har Sinai, even if he didn't give us the Torah, it would have been enough. What do you mean? You're going to come to Har Sinai, you're not going to get the Torah, and that's enough. Yes, if you could see in Madison Square Garden, 20,000 Yidden, everybody screaming Shema Yisrael at one time, it's such a hysteris. You can imagine what it was at Har Sinai, where millions of people were all together. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. That's the achdus we need for Kabbalah Satayra, and that's really the achdus we need in order that Mashiach should come. I want to tell you a story. What does it mean to be connected? What does it mean to feel for one for the other? This story happened a number of years ago in Eretz Yisrael. There was a young woman, a married woman. She was expecting a baby. She was working in a place. She's working in an office for a Yiddish balabas. And her husband was learning. Her brother had come from America. He hadn't found a job yet. So she was the sole support of the family. And she was very worried. Jobs were at a premium. And then as soon as she's going to have the baby, she's going to have to be away on maternity leave. Maybe somebody else will take her job and she won't get her job back. And she was very afraid to ask the boss what he was going to do once she would have to leave on maternity leave. But it happened one day that it was raining and everybody was sitting around eating lunch together. Nobody was able to go outside. And as they were sitting and talking, she asked her boss, she said to him, "You realize that I'm going to have a baby soon. What's going to be during that time when I'm not going to be? Are you going to take somebody in my place and are you going to give them a permanent job?" And of course, the boss didn't want to answer in front of everybody. He was a smart fellow. He didn't want to commit himself. So he quickly changed the topic and everybody started talking about different things and started talking about their past history and all. And then he heard that she said that she came from Brooklyn. He said, "Brooklyn? Where do you come from in Brooklyn?" "East Flatbush." "East Flatbush? Well, what's your maiden name?" "Tells him, what's your father's name? What's your grandfather's name? Are they still alive? What's your grandmother?" And all of a sudden, she became very, very uncomfortable. He was asking her very personal family questions that he wasn't asking anybody else. And all of a sudden, he walked out of the room. He walked out of the room, and he came back a few minutes later. And it was obvious that he had been crying. And he said to her with tears in his eyes, he says, "I must tell you something." He says, "Many, many years ago in East Flatbush, there were two electricians that davened in the same shul. One electrician was part of the union, and he had a very good job. And the other electrician, he can never get into the union, and he was going from job to job, from place to place. And it was very difficult for him in Parnassa. Now these two people really did not have much connection to each other except that they davened in the same shul and they had the same profession. So at times they would walk home from shul, they would walk home together. It happened, Nebuch, that this fellow who was not a union member, who was having a difficult time with Parnassa, one day he Nebuch had a heart attack and he died. And of course it was a terrible tzara. He left over Yisaimim. And everybody came to be Menachem Oval. And this electrician, his friend who was in the union, he also came to be Menachem Avil. And he looks around and he sees it's really poverty stricken. They really don't have anything. And he goes into the kitchen, and those of you who have been to be Menachem Avil know that there's always such a tumult. You don't know, you can go into somebody's kitchen, into their living room. I mean, there's such a tumult. There's so many people milling around. He goes into the kitchen, he opens up the refrigerator, and he sees very little food. So that night, he goes out, and he buys a tremendous amount of food, and he stacks it into the refrigerator. And the next day, he came to be Menachem Avil again. So the almana said to him, "Are you the one who put all that food in the refrigerator? All of a sudden we have so much food and we can't figure out what it is." No, it wasn't me. That night, again, he saw that some of the food had been used every day. He refilled it and refilled it. And that was it. After the shiva, he didn't have any more connection with the almana. A few weeks later, the almana called him. And she said, "You know, I know that you have the same job that my husband had. You know, we're not doing that well. And there's so many things that my husband has. He has drill bits, and he has sockets, and hammers, and saws, and a lot of electrical wires. Maybe you would want to buy it, or maybe you could get rid of it for me." So he said, "You know, let me come to your home." And he came to the house for 3 Sundays in a row. He came, and he set up an inventory of every different type of electrical equipment that the lady had in the basement, because each thing was to her like a pain in the heart. She couldn't look at it anymore. And he set it up, and afterwards he made an announcement to both shuls in East Flatbush that on a Sunday afternoon there's going to be a sale. Any person who is in the electrician line or hardware line or contracting, anybody who needs anything, can come and buy it. He made a big sale. He made close to $3,000, and every single penny he gave to the almana. He didn't take a penny for himself. So the man is telling this story, and he says, "I want you to know," he says, "I am one of the Yesaimim, because it was my father who passed away, and it was your grandfather who made the sale." And he said, "For the rest of my life, as long as I own this business, you will always have a job. And if your brother wants a job, he can come here tomorrow." What does that show us? It shows a concern. It shows a person did a favor for somebody. Never thought that he would be paid back. He did it so that the almana should be able to have money. But if a person does a chesed with emes, the Eibishter doesn't forget. Sometimes people forget, but the Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't forget. And the inyan of chesed is not only to people that are nitzrochim, in a big sense. Many times we go to be mevakeh chayla Menachem Avil. Recently, I was in Eretz Yisrael. I heard such a beautiful, touching story. Some of you may know that in Bayit Vagan, many years ago, they used to live the Slabotke Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. And when he was older, he never had surgery, and the doctor told him that he has to take a walk every day. So every afternoon, he would take a walk, and all the little children, they would follow. You can imagine a little tzaddik like him right over here. He would probably follow after a gadol and would walk along the street. And it happened to be that one day, Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky was walking, and he had a whole bunch of children along together with him, and he noticed that a little girl was crying. So he stopped, and he said to the little girl in Hebrew, "Why are you crying?" So she said, "Miriam amra shasimla shali lo yafeh." Miriam said, "My dress is not nice." So Rabbi Abramsky asked the little girl, "What's your name?" She said, "Shoshana." So he said, "I want you to tell your friend that the Rav said that your dress is beautiful and your name is beautiful." Oh, she was so happy. She ran off. "Huh, the Rav said her name is beautiful and the dress is beautiful." She runs off. And of course, all these children who heard this, they couldn't get over it. That Rav Abramsky, the Gadol, the grace of Rosh Hashiva, would stop and talk to the 5-year-old girl and didn't send somebody else to talk to her. So, of course, the story made the rounds. And a couple days later, people came over and they asked Rav Abramsky, "Why did you stop to talk to the little girl?" So he said, "All of you certainly know the Gemara, that the Gemara says that a person is supposed to act like the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Eibush is a Chan of Arachim, you're supposed to be a Chan of Arachim." And he says, "Besides, it says in the Pasuk, Umocha Hashem Alekim Dima Mi'al Kol Panim. The Eibush is going to wipe away tears from every face. Why does it say, I'll call upon him? Even the face of a 5-year-old girl." So if the Eibishter is going to wipe away the tears from all faces, I have to do the same. That's called somebody who's interested in Ben Adam Machaveroi, somebody who's going to do a favor for a little five-year-old girl who probably doesn't even have an appreciation of who did her that great favor. Do you know there's a famous kasha that I'm sure that many of us have thought about at one time or another. Why is there no bracha of Shechiyonu for the mitzvah of Sfira? After all, we know that a mitzvah that you do every once in a while, if you do eat matzah, you make a Shechiyonu, Shefa, Shechiyonu, Megillah, Shechiyonu. Okay, by a bris we don't say Shechiyonu because there's pain for the child, although Sfardim do say Shechiyonu. But certainly a mitzvah that you do once in a while, you should say Shechiyonu. How come by Sfiras Aima we don't say Shechiyonu the first time we make it? So there's two very interesting terutzim. The first teretz is given by the Ran in Pesachim. It's the last Ran in the Masechta. All you have to do is open up the Gemara from the back, look at the last Ran, and there it is. And he says like this. We don't find a bracha Shechiyonu ela bedova sheyesh boi shum hanoa, only something that gives you pleasure. You eat matzah, you have pleasure. You remember the Megillah, you remember the great story, the great miracle, it brings you pleasure. But Sfira Sa'imer, ein boi zeicher l'shum hanoa. Why? Ela la'admas nefesh l'churban bayis mavenu. It reminds us, the Sfira Sa'imer, this was a carbon. We used to have the Beis HaMikdash. Today we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore. So we're counting towards bringing the Sfira, the Aimer, the carbon Aimer, and it reminds us of the Beis HaMikdash, which is no longer here. So it brings us sadness. So we don't say Shechiyonu. It occurred to me after I saw this run, that's why, what's the first thing that you say right after you say Sfira? HaRachmon hu yachzir lanu es avodes Beis HaMikdash shalom kaimim heirim. What's my shaykh about this? But according to the Ran, it's terrific. Because the Ran says, you make the bracha of Sfira Sa'imah, and you feel bad, you can't say Shechiyonu. Memela, Rachman, Yazalon, Zavodis, Beis HaMikdash. But the Bnei Yisoscha says a different teretz. The Bnei Yisoscha says, you know why you don't say Shechiyonu? He says like this. Ki ein hachuka al yomim hanisparim. The main thing is not the fact that you're beginning to count. No. Rak al hayoim she'acha yimei ha-sfira. After the 49 days, when you finally reach that level, oz mevarchen Shechiyonu. Because Sfira is only preparation. It's only a preparation for Shavuos, Kabbalah, Torah. That's when we're going to say Shechiyonu. So we don't say Shechiyonu in the beginning because we're only preparing. I guess it's almost like when you build the sukkah, you don't say Shechiyonu. Only when you're sitting in the sukkah. So the same thing over here. You're just preparing to get to Shavuos. So if you're preparing to get to Shavuos, why don't we count 48, 47, 46, 45, we're going back down to one, right? We're so anticipating Shavuos. We should count down, right? If let's say you won a lottery, right? And you know that in 10 days, or you're going to get that $1 million. So how are you going to count? 1, 2, 3, no! I got 9 days, I got 42 hours left, I got 675 seconds left. You're going to count down, right? So how come by Shavuos we don't count down? So Rav Aaron writes in the Mishnah of Aaron, because every day you're supposed to climb. Higher Madrega, higher Madrega, higher Madrega. That's when, and once you get to Shavuos, you're up. Every day is supposed to be a higher level. And what is supposed to be the higher level? One of the levels is supposed to be the inyan of Dibuk Chaverim, closeness to friends. And Rabbi Aaron gives us a great insight. Why did the Talmidim die dafka between Pesach and Shavuos? If Hashem wanted to teach us about tshuva, they should have died in Elul. They should have died in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. That's a time of Aseres. No. Hashem wanted to show us, you can't be one who's going to transmit Torah if you don't have kavod zeh v'zeh. If you are not one who gives kavod to your chaverim, it's not just a problem bein adam l'chaveri, it's a problem bein adam l'mokem. They could not be the ones that are going to transmit Torah. So they had to die before Shavuos to show that those who do not have kavod chaverim cannot be the ones that are going to transmit Torah. And if that's the case, it occurred to me another pshat. Why did Rabbi Akiva say, what did he say? Zeklal godol b'Torah. He should have said, Zeklal godol b'midas. But you know why? Because it's a cloud godol b'Torah. Because if you are not one that gives kavod zeh b'zeh, then you can't transmit Torah. So it's a zeklal godol b'Torah, not only zeklal godol b'midas. So if we have to have kavod zeh b'zeh, can I ask you, who has the right to double park on Friday in front of a bakery and block all those people that are inside, and then somebody goes outside and can't find where you are because you went down to the tailor? That's a lack of kavod habrias. What right do we have to talk at a chuppah? Those of you who have had the schus to marry off a child know what kind of awesome moment it is. And you want everyone, obviously, to give respect and kavod. What right? Did you ever hear at a chuppah how people talk? That's a lack of kavod habrias, because it shows you don't really care what's doing up there. You're only thinking about yourself. How many times? The second you're at a light, the second it turns green, you're honking the guy ahead of you. You don't even give him 1 minute to breathe. That's a lack of kavod habrias, because it shows you don't care about what he's doing in there. Why? Because it shows you're only interested in yourself. Do you know Rav Simcha Zissel, the Alter from Kelem? A remarkable, remarkable story. He was once davening at a minyan, and they finished the minyan in the yeshiva. And as he's about to walk by the door, he's walking out, there's a bachur came in late, and the bachur starts saying brachas. Ah, shalai sani goi, right, shalai sani isha, shalai sani, everything, right? And everybody stops, and they're answering amen. After all, the boy wants to give everybody the schus to answer amen for the brachas. After he finished, Rav Simcha Zissel said to him, what right did you have to say the brachas out loud? You bound me up in chains. It was golden chains. You made me do a mitzvah, but you have a right to impose on my time? You didn't come to the minyan on time. Everybody has things to do. Now you're going to stop everybody and make sure that they say amen to your bracha. You held me back in chains, golden chains, but you held me back. In other words, you can't be a tzaddik on somebody else's cheshbon. How many times do we know people go into Eretz Yisrael? I want to send along something small, a small refrigerator. How many times? I remember once went, right? Is that just because somebody's going to Eretz Yisrael? All of a sudden we have to send all the things. And the guy can't say no because he's so good. What right do we have to impose on people? I remember, I once went a number of years ago, Sukkot. I went to Eretz Yisrael with my children and my mother, Knein Arda. We had a whole family going. I don't remember putting an ad in the Jewish press on the Yated that I was going to Eretz Yisrael. But somehow the whole world knew. And before you knew it, believe it or not, I went to Eretz Yisrael with 16 suitcases. Brown and red and light brown and light black. You go. I always say, people, if they buy luggage, they should buy pink luggage. Because otherwise, how are you going to find it? So, of course, I'm there with my kids, and we get off in Lud, right? And I don't have to tell you that there's not one taxi that's going to hold all of us with all the luggage, right? So my wife is in one car, I'm in another car, my son-in-law is in another car. We get to Yerushalayim, and we schlep up three floors, right? Because you can't rent on the first floor, right? So you only rent on the third or fourth floor, right? No elevators. You want a cheap building. So fine. So we get upstairs, we're missing two boxes. Because it was such a massive confusion that we're missing two boxes. Of course, we're not missing any of the boxes that anybody else gave us. We're missing the ones with our clothes, right? It's always like that. So now my wife, the Tzidkonius, she says she's going to go back to Lud. Fine. She goes back to Lud. And she comes back, right? You know what kind of schlep it is, right? At night, after a long trip, Yerushalayim, you know, from Lutz, Yerushalayim, back. She goes with my daughter. She comes to the office. They want to know, she says, she left two boxes. They say, come with me. They take her out to a field, and all of a sudden, the guy steps on something, and out of the ground opens up like Kairach is going to fall in, and the two suitcases come popping out. And they're all in silver, you know, in encased in steel. And he said to my wife, Gevedet, lo shamata mechevetz chashud? You never heard of a chevetz chashud? How do you leave two packages like this? And he berates her. We had to take it. We had to put it in the steel casing. And of course, she had to show that she's an honorary member of society until she was able to sign for it. Why did these things happen? If you know somebody going to Eretz Yisrael, call them up and tell them where they can meet Rav Shlomo Zalman. Tell them where they can get a good restaurant. Tell them where they can see a great artist that has the most beautiful sukkah in Yerushalayim. Tell them all the wonderful things they can do. Why is it the obligation of everybody to give everybody letters and faxes and tape recorders and all these things that the people in Eretz Yisrael could manage very well without until you go? But that's a lack of kavod habrias. You know why? Because we're taking advantage of people who can't say no. And most Yidden can't say no because we're really nice people. But really what the Alta from Kelem is showing you, that you have no right to take advantage of other people. Do you know that sometimes we have to criticize people? Whether it's a child, whether it's a Talmud, whether it's a friend. And that's the time when sometimes we take away the dignity of the other person. Rav Schwab once told me, he said, before you criticize someone, you have to be sad, not mad. It's a very good vart. If you're sad that you have to criticize someone, you're going to approach the criticism in a different way. But if you're mad, you'll wipe him away or wipe her away when all the dignity is gone. He brought a very interesting point. He said, you know, in the Pasuk, where it says, Hoicheach, toicheach hasam yisecha, that you should give Musar, what is the next Pasuk? V'yahavta reecha kamoicha. The next Pasuk, in Vayikra, you test Yud Zayin, Hoicheach, toicheach, give Musar, Pasuk Yud Ches is v'yahavta. The purpose of Musar is to bring love to Klal Yisrael, to bring Avas Reim. When you give Musar to somebody, you should be in such a way, you're such a tired Yid, you're such a wonderful person, I want to love you because you're a Yid, but how could you do such a thing? Not you're lazy, you're terrible, you're awful, you're going to bring, Mashiach is not coming because of you. That you know, there's a very interesting pasuk. Very interesting pasuk. The pasuk, every pasuk is interesting, I shouldn't say that, but the pasuk is a Mishlei test, pasuk ches. It says like this, Al toichach leitz, don't give musa to a joker, pen yisnaekom, maybe he's going to hate you. Hoichach lachacham, give a musa to a chacham, via veka, he'll love you. But I once heard a chassidish rebbe said a great word. Al toichach leitz. Don't say to someone you're a nothing, you're a joker, you're a bad person, pen yisnaecha, because then he's going to hate you. Hoichach lachacham. Give him musa, tell me he's a chacham. You're such a special person. Then he'll love you. Then he'll listen to you. I'll tell you a story of a father. A father I know has a son. And the little boy, before he was 3 years old, had the curliest hair that you could imagine. The curliest hair. And of course the father didn't give him a haircut until the kid was 3 years old. So the kid used to ride the bike in the house, and his yarmulke always fell off. Oh, and it drove the father bats. It drove him crazy. Every time, and he's always yelling at the kid, can't you get your yarmulke? What do you need, a staple of Velcro, 5 bobby pins to help guard it? The kid's hair is curly. What do you want from him? But it drove the father mishuga. Finally, one night, the father had it. And the kid is driving his bike right in front of the father's office, and the yarmulke comes flying off. And the father runs out and he says to the child, you're such a... And then a second he catches himself. What is he, crazy? What is he going to call his kid? For what? So then he says, tzaddik. You're such a tzaddik. How could you have that yarmulke fall off? And from that night on, my son never dropped his yarmulke. That's true. It happened to me. I'm embarrassed to tell it to you, but I feel that it's a lesson, so I'm embarrassing myself. I could. What am I going to call my son? For what? He's getting a haircut in a month or two. What's the big about? But we make ourselves so crazy over such a little thing that you're going to call a child something, and he's so proud. He's still so proud. My father called me a tzaddik. Okay, today he's 16 years old, but he still hasn't forgotten that story. Chas v'shalom, what if I would have called him something else? That's a terrible thing. How many times do parents do that to children? You're lazy, you're a good for nothing. That's not the way to give musar. When I was in London, Rav Jacobowitz, Olzayin Gezun, told me a beautiful, beautiful vort. He said, the Gemara says in Brachas, Kof Ches Amid Beis, that Shimon HaPakuli histir Yud Ches Brachas. Shimon HaPakuli was Mesader, the 18 brachas of Shimon Ezra. They have been written by different Tamir Chachamim, Bar Yanshe Knesset Agdoyla, and Shimon HaPakuli, he was Mesader, all of them in front of Rabbi Gamliel. Now it came the time they had to write the 19th bracha of Shimon Ezra. All of us know, V'lam Al Shinim. So they were looking around for somebody to write it. So the Gemara says, Omar lehem Rabbi Gamliel Chachamim, Rabbi Gamliel said to Chachamim, Klum yesh odom sheyedeya l'sakim brichas atzlekim. We need somebody who can write it. We need somebody special to write it. Omar Shmuel HaKotan, Shmuel HaKotan was the one, they said he could write it. So the kasha is, Rabbi Jacobowitz asked, why did they need somebody special? I mean, they had so many, the Anshei Knesset Agdoyla, everybody who wrote the Shimon Ezra, who wrote the 18 brachas, he can write this one. What's the big deal? Why is this one so special? So the Teretz is a great word. Shmuel HaKotan, it says in Ovei's Dalad Yutes, he always used to say this pasuk, B'nafoil o yivcha al tismach. When your enemy falls, don't be happy. What do we say in V'lam Al Shinim? Al si sikva, v'chol erusha kerega soveg, v'chol erusha mehiru keresu. They should get killed. They should be wiped out. Who can talk like that? Not anybody. Somebody who in his heart says all the time, oi, when my enemy is falling, I can't be happy. Somebody who has such a heart, he can write V'lam Al Shinim al si sikva, v'chol erusha kerega soveg, because he means it for the best. He doesn't have a personal vendetta to go out and to hurt those people. Such a person who always is worried about the other person, even his enemy, he doesn't want his enemy to have agmas nefesh and to have fault and to have chas v'shalom bad. He's the one who can write such a bracha. I once heard a beautiful little story. I don't know who, if anybody has the address, because I'd like to write it in my new book. So I have to find out which Rav it was. Some people tell me it was Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, some I heard it was Rav Chaim Briska. But if you know where it's written, please call me. And if you're out of town, call me, collect. I don't care. Because I must know the address of this story. But I heard once that maybe it was with Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, that he called in somebody and he said to this person, he said, you know, you criticize that with a certain group in town. What right? Who are you to criticize these people? So he said, B'mchilas Kvoidcha, Rav, I'm sorry, but I happen to know that you wrote a letter very strong against this same group of people. So why are you having a taina to me? I criticized them and you criticized them. I did it because you did it. He says, no, there's a big difference between me and you. He says, you know, in a house, there's two different types that don't want to have the mice there. The balabos doesn't want to have the mice, and the cat. Except the cat wants them to be there so he could eat them up. The balabos would be rather that they never even showed up. I would rather have that these people never did anything bad. You would rather have that they did bad, so you should be able to criticize and eat them up. And that's the difference. That's the difference in criticism. I'll give you one more great story about criticism. I love this story. I printed it in Around the Maggid's Table. It happened once that Rav Chaim Oizer, of course, the Gadol HaDor in Vilna, there was a young fellow who was drafted by the Soviet Army, and he was afraid to go because who knows where he could be there forever. So he came to Rav Chaim Oizer and he said, Rebbe, please give me a bracha that I shouldn't be, that I should be able to get out of army duty. So the Rav said to him, tell me, do you ever put on tzitzis? Do you wear tzitzis? He said, Rebbe, I'm sorry, he doesn't put on tzitzis. So the Rav said to him, what about tefillin? Do you ever put on tefillin? The kid was never so embarrassed. No, Rebbe, I'm sorry, I just don't put on tefillin. He said, what about Shabbos? Shabbos, are you ashamed of Shabbos? The kid was so, he knew that the Rav was going to throw him out in a second. So Rav Chaim Oizer thought for a moment and he said, I give you a bracha that the Russian army should be as disappointed in you as I am. Isn't that clever? Isn't that clever? So he walked out, he was so elated, but of course he got the message. 2 weeks later, he came running back to Rav Chaim Oizer, and he said, the Rebbe, the bracha was mekuyem. They rejected me. And he picked up a shirt, and he showed the Rav that he wore tzitzis, and he had tefillin, and he was a Shomer Shabbos the rest of his life. Why? The Rav had an opportunity to destroy him, but instead of breaking him, he built him. Do you know, there's a Gemara. The Gemara is in Gittin Vov Amid Beis. Omer Rav Chisda la'olam al yatil adam eima yaseira b'soich beisai. Don't make your home a place of terror. Do you know, here's a secret, that your children are human beings. And therefore, when you're supposed to have kovet zebezeh, it means even to your children, and to your husband, and to your wife also. Somehow kovet chaverim somehow gets excluded in the house. But your husband, and your wife, and your relatives, even the poor ones, and the children, are all part of society that a person is supposed to have kovet zebezeh. It says, al yatil adam eima yaseira. Don't make your home a place of terror. Do you know there are many children that are afraid to come home? Because no matter what they do, they can't satisfy their parents. They're always being criticized. Imagine, I mean, how often does it happen, right? A kid is sitting at the table, and the mother tells him to take the milk and to put it in the refrigerator. As he's picking up the milk, don't spill the milk. Is he going to spill the milk? Does he want to spill the milk? Why are you telling him not to spill the milk? The only reason is because you're the parent, and so therefore you criticize him, and it makes him feel that he's a nothing, that he's a garnet. How many times do we say to our child, Monday morning, the kid is starting to do the homework. Now you do your homework? What happened all weekend? What does the father look like Erev Shabbos? He runs 5 seconds before Shabbos, whether it's 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. The parents go to the last minute. So the parents are going to the last minute every week. So why shouldn't the kid go Monday morning the last minute to do the homework? But of course, you can criticize because you're the parent. But the best story of all is this, and believe me, I couldn't make it up. A night before I was supposed to do a certain bris, a father calls me up and he says to me, Rabbi, I don't know who to make sandik. That's the one who holds the baby. I said, why? What's the problem? He says, my father wants to do it and my father-in-law. They both want to be sandik. And I didn't have twins. I have one baby. So I said, well, let's try to figure it out. I said, was your father ever tzaddik before? Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of grandchildren on our side. He's been tzaddik before. I said, what about your father-in-law? No, on my wife's side, this is the first grandchild. I said, it would seem to me, it would make sense that your father-in-law should be the one that tzaddik. He said, you're right, that's what I thought, but my father called me today. He said the baby came to him in a dream, told him he wants him to be tzaddik. So I said to him, what language did he speak? What kind of chutzpah does a father have to put such a pressure on a child? You know why? Because people are not considerate. And people think only about themselves. And that's why they'll say things to their children, and to people in shul, and to the president, and to the rav, and to anybody in society. Abi, I'm the one. I have to move because the light is green. All of us want to be great. Everybody wants to be great and wants our children to be great. How do you become great? So Rav Aaron, and it's interesting, Rav Cheskel Levenstein in the Sefer Or Yecheskel, they both bring the same pasuk and the same medrash. The pasuk is in Shemois Beis Yud Aleph. And the pasuk tells us like this. Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe became big, Vayetze Alechav, and he went out to his brothers, Vayarvis of Loisam, and he saw their pain. So they both make the same deal. Why does it say Vayigdal Moshe? What do you mean? Moshe certainly didn't do it when he was a little boy. Of course he became older, and then he went out to see the pain. But they bring the Medrash, Vayigdal Ayadei Vayetze. You know how Moshe Rabbeinu became great? Because he went out to see the pain of his brothers and sisters. That's how you become great. Stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about the pain of other people. If you are fortunate and you're able to do construction in your home, and you're able to go on vacation to Eretz Yisrael or whatever, and there's somebody in shul who can't make the mortgage payments, it's not a reason to talk about where you're going or what you're doing. That's your own business. We have to begin to be sensitive to other people. Our children, if they're getting 90s and 95s, they shouldn't brag about their marks to those kids that are getting 60s and 65s. There's a pasuk, an amazing pasuk, how it's touched by the Das Kanim. And he says like this. It says in Dvorim Chav Beis Yud, a famous din, and we would think, what in the world? It's probably like a choik. Why? I mean, it's almost like shatness. Why? What reason could there possibly be for this din? Loi sachroish bishar v'chamor yachtov. It's in Dvorim Chav Beis Pasuk Yud. When you're plowing the field, you cannot have a shor and a chamor together. Why not? Torah doesn't say why not. So the Das Kanim says a remarkable thing. Listen. Lefi shahashor malageira, because the shor brings up its food a second time. Umitzayir achamor, the chamor, who's right next to the shor, right there plowing together, he hears, eres nachamol, where did he get the food? Umitzayir achamor, kishayishma hashor orchel. Sadasikanim. The chamor, the Torah is worried that the chamor is going to hear how the shor is bringing up the food and he's eating a second time and I didn't get my food. So if the Torah is worried about a chamor, shouldn't we worried about other people? Shouldn't we be concerned? So I want to tell you a very beautiful story about a Parshat the Balabas. He was nifter a number of years ago in Brooklyn. His name was Rav Levish Pinkus. By the Shiva, people were talking. His son told me, Heshi Pinkus, he has a story, sells Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzahs, that kind of place on Coney Island Avenue. He said he always knew that his father had a pocket full of quarters. He never knew why his father had a pocket full of quarters, but wherever he went, he had a pocket full of quarters. And then, when people were being Menachem Avil, somebody said, you know, your father told me once why he has it. Because he davens in shul every morning, and every morning there are aniyim that come around. And of course, everyone, he wanted to give money. Now, what happens if he doesn't have change? So he takes out a dollar bill. For a moment, the Oni may think, oi, this guy's such a nice guy, he's going to give me a dollar. Now he knows he's probably not going to get the dollar, but for that moment, he thinks, oi, maybe I'm going to get the dollar. And then the guy asks for change, and he gives him only a quarter. So he's broken. The Oni is broken enough. I don't want to hurt him in any way. So I always have quarters. And whatever, as soon as I see an Oni, I take out the quarter and I give it to him. A small, simple sensitivity. But it shows somebody who's thinking about the pain of other people. I want to tell you one of the most awesome events that happened. Just in our time, a year and a half ago in the summer. It is remarkable that such a thing could even happen in our generation. A number of years ago, a year and a half ago, in Camp Harim in the mountains. Many of you know Camp Harim. That's a camp where many yeshivas come to learn. One of the yeshivas that came there was the Yeshiva Gedela of Montreal. The Rosh Yeshiva was Rav Motel Weinberg. It happened that one morning, Rav Motel got up to daven for the Amid. He had yahrzeit for his mother. He had had terrible back pains the night before. And as he was davening for the Amid, on the day that he had yahrzeit for his mother, he felt a terrible chest pain. And after davening, he went over to a friend of mine who's the head of Atzola, Yoel Silverberg, who's today in Scranton. And he said he feels this terrible pain and he's had back pains the night before. And immediately they started checking and they took him immediately to the hospital and they realized that he had had a massive heart attack. He had a massive heart attack and they were trying desperately to save his life. His wife wasn't even up in the mountains. She was in the city. And they called his wife immediately. She should come running up. And she drove as fast as she could together with her daughter and they came to the hospital. And Yoel told me that he was standing with the Rosh Yeshiva. He didn't leave him for a moment. He was with him the whole time. And a few hours later, he was still lying on the bed and the medic was standing next to him and they were talking to him. And he was standing on the left side of the Rosh Yeshiva. And he was talking and suddenly the Rosh Yeshiva said to him, "I feel another pain." And Yoel tells me he walked around to this side and the Rosh Yeshiva passed away right in front of his eyes. And now he had to go out and tell the Rebbetzin. How in the world do you tell such a shrek lecha bit of news to the Rebbetzin after they had such a wonderful marriage for so many years? And he told me he walked out. He had no idea what he was going to say. So he walks out to the lobby. She hadn't even seen the Rosh Yeshiva the whole time that she was there. He walks out and he sees her and he can't even look at her. And he's walking with his head down. And he stands in front of her and he just can't get the words out of his mouth. Finally he says, "Rebbetzin, I'm so sorry to tell you, the Rosh Yeshiva didn't make it." And she's quiet. 5 seconds. 5 long seconds. 10 seconds. 10 long seconds she's quiet. Then the first words out of her mouth, she says to him, "It must be so hard for you to have to tell me that." Can you imagine a lady just lost her husband and the first thing that she can think of is that it's so hard for the fellow from Atzola to have to tell it to her? And that night, when they were packing, it was a Thursday night, and they had to take the Rosh Yeshiva's body, they had to take him to Montreal. So everybody was rushing to get up to Montreal so that the Levaya could be Friday before Shabbos. She says to her children, "Let's not forget to tip the waiters." Who thinks about waiters at a time like that? Would the waiters even want to take money from her? But that's a person who's thinking about somebody else. She's going to bury her husband and she's worried that maybe the waiters who served me a whole summer, we're not going to give them hakaras hatov because after all, she's not coming back to Camp Harim anymore. That's called thinking about somebody else. Not like a lady who told my wife gave a lecture someplace. This lady lives in Phoenix, but she happened to be in New York. All of you know how hot it can be in Phoenix. And this young woman has never so many medical problems. She said one day she was sitting in her room in the hospital, hooked up to every kind of wire that you can imagine. And a lady, a friend of hers, comes in and plops down on the bed next to her and says, "You're so lucky to be here. You have air conditioning, you don't have to fight the traffic, and your meals are served on time." In a second, the nurse from the station came running in because all the dials started going crazy. And she said, "I don't know what you said to my patient, but you're a living disaster. Get out and don't come back here." The lady could say, "Oh, Bikur Cholim. I'm doing a mitzvah, Bikur Cholim." How many times you go to be Mevatel Chayla and you're dressed from head to toe because you're going to a chasana or you're going to a bar mitzvah? "I'm doing Bikur Cholim." That person is sitting in a hospital gown. There's some mevuzah and inza. How many times? You know, I once had to speak on Bikur Cholim. So I did some research. I asked certain Cholim about whether they appreciate visitors or not. You will not believe how many people told me. A person comes to visit them in a hospital. They're sitting there, right? They have chemo. They're, who knows what's happening? They're in a terrible matzah. And what does the friend say? "I think you have the wrong doctor." Do a mitzvah, but on somebody else's cheshbon. That's a lack of kavod abriyos. I want to tell you something that I saw from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Those of you who certainly know Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, made an interesting diuk in a medrash that is so frightening but it's so obviously true as the way he says it, and something, a great lesson that we can learn. Everybody knows in Bereishis Yud Ches, Pasuk Beis, right in the beginning of the Parsha of Vayera, it says, Vayisa Einov, right? Avram Avinu picked up his eyes, he was sitting, right? He had the Brit Mila, and he was sitting there by the tent. He saw three people. Then the Pasuk says again, Vayar. He saw Vayaras Lakrasam. And he ran to them. So of course everybody asked the Kasha, why does it say Vayar twice? Vayar, he saw them, and then he saw them and he ran. Listen to what the Medrash says. Unbelievable. The Medrash Rabba says, in Bereishis Mem Ches Tes, Omar, Avram Avinu said to himself, Im Roya Ani, if I see that the Shechina waits for these people, then I will know that they are Adam Gedolim. If I see right now that the Shechina's waits as these three people approach, I will know that they are Adam Gedolim. V'im Ani Roya, but if I see, Oysan Cholkim Zelze, I see that they're giving covet one to the other, then I know that they are B'nei Adam Mehuganim. Then I know they are proper and wonderful and virtuous people. So he sees all of a sudden that they're giving covet one to the other. Vayar, he saw that. Vayar Atzlakrasam. So now listen to what Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says. From the Chazal it's mashma that a person could be an Adam Godol. The Shechina is going to wait for him. And still he's not an Adam Hogun. He's still not a proper person. He could be Marbitz all the Torah in the world. He could be somebody, everybody stands up, the Shechina stands up for him. But if he doesn't talk with Derech Eretz to other people, Avraham Avinu is not going to look at him. So therefore, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, Ki milavad gad lusam, heinu b'nei Adam uhugonim, v'geder b'nei Adam uhugonim, heinu b'nei Adam hamachabdim elu le'elu. So as we approach Shavuos, and we think of all the Torah that we're going to learn, and all the Torah that we're going to teach, let's remember that if we were standing outside Avraham Avinu and we were people that were disgraceful one to the other, Avraham Avinu wouldn't look at you no matter how much you learned. Because a person is not only supposed to be an Adam Godol, he's supposed to be an Adam Hogun. And how do you become an Adam Hogun? By giving covet one to the other. Rabbi Saul Salanta was once in a shul and they were about to lay the Teichacha, and he sees that the Gabbai is looking around to find a poor man because nobody wants to have the Teichacha read. So Rabbi Yusuf Salanta got so upset. What do you mean? You're going to embarrass a poor man? Him? You're going to give the Teichacha? He runs up and he says the bracha. Baruch Hashem Avayroch. And he says the bracha. Now what are you going to do? You can't call up anybody else. Rabbi Yusuf Salanta is there. So Rabbi Al-Kerit didn't want to lane. I'm going to lane the Teichacha for Rabbi Yusuf Salanta. So Rabbi Yusuf Salanta went and he laned the Parsha. He got up and he just laned the Parsha. And then afterwards he said, if the people in the shul are worried about the Teichacha, they should be worried about the Einish when it comes to be embarrassing a poor person. Do you know? There's a pasuk, very interesting pasuk. Again, very interesting. Shouldn't say it, but I always try to bring those that I feel that we can learn from. Tehillim Nun, pasuk Chav Gimel. It says like this, Zoyveach Toida Yechabdonani. He who offers thanks honors me. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, it could have said in the Pasuk, Zaveyach Toida, the one who gives thanks, Yechabdonani, gives me covet. If somebody who says thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it a double lashon, Yechabdonani? So the Medrash Tanchuma says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Chaviva Olai Mikol HaKabonis, the carbon that I like best is the carbon when somebody is just bringing a carbon to say thank you. That to me is the most important, more than the Chatas, more than the Oila, more than anything, more than the Asha, say thank you. That's by me the most chaviv thing. Do we say thank you? How many people do us favors daily? Do you know that when a Balkaira would lane, the first one that would go over to say Yashikoyach or thank you to him would be Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. If somebody davened for the Amid, the first one to say Yashikoyach to him would be Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. When was the last time any of us, maybe in this show, but I know sometimes where I daven, who says Yashikoyach to the Balkaira? The kid prepared, he spent hours preparing, but he's getting paid for it. So what? So what if he's getting paid for it? After all, he did you a favor, you didn't have to lane. Did anybody ever say thank you to the mailman? In the hot, blazing heat, or in the snow, he's bringing the mail besides your bills. He's bringing all those wonderful things that you're waiting for. Do you ever say thank you? I remember one time, a hot summer day, the mailman, the guy was dripping. So I went over to him, I said, you know, I appreciate that you're bringing me the mail. Would you like an ice cream pop? He said, yeah, I would. I was so surprised. I ran, I got him one, and I was so happy he took it, because I always wanted to know what a guy thinks a whole of Yisrael ice cream pop tastes like. Yitzhakah said it was good. I was surprised. When was the last time? When was the last time that husbands thank wives for the meals that they make? Breakfast, lunch, supper. Okay, some of them don't make breakfast and lunch, but supper they make. Supper they make. Supper. They thank you. And on the other hand, when was the last time a wife thanked a husband for all the hard work that he does, that he brings the money in? There are many, many men who work very, very hard. Does it ever occur for a woman to say thank you? I feel, that if a woman wants to be thanked for the bread that she bakes, she has to be grateful for the dough that her husband brings home. There's another thing that I think that we can do to bring Arvus together. Oh, you heard that last night, right? In Brooklyn, right. Okay. Now, there's another thing. Oh, thank you. Right, thank you. Thank you. There's another thing that we can do, that everybody can do, every man, woman, and child can do, and that is daven for other people. Even if you don't have money, even if you don't have time, even if you don't have the knowledge to help other people, but everybody can daven for another person. There's not one person in this room, man, woman, and child, who doesn't know people that are sick, people that are having problems with parnosa, people that are looking for a shidduch, people that want to have children, people that are looking for a job. We know so many people that have so much tzaras. The least that we can do is daven for them. Did it ever occur to anyone that the entire Shemin Esra is Lashon Rabbim? Shema Koleinu, Rifa'enu, Baruch Aleinu, and yet when we daven, we're only thinking about ourselves. The whole Shemin Esra is Lashon Rabbim. Does it ever occur to anybody to think about somebody else? Do you know that there's certain places in Shemin Esra you're allowed to daven in English? In Shema Koleinu, right before Kiyat HaShemaya, you can daven in any language that you want. I feel that we should teach ourselves and our children, and not one Shemin Esra should go by without having daven for someone else. Don't make a list of 20 people, because if we make a list of 20 people, you're going to stop it in a couple days. That would just be too long. But think of certain people that have tzaras. And of course, we all know the famous Gemara, right? The Gemara in Bava Kama, Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph. Kol ha-mavakesh rachamim al chaveiro v'tzorach lo yisadova hunena tchila. If you have any problem, whatever it is, find somebody else who has that problem and you'll be answered first. So I just want to tell you one more story. We'll chazer over and then we'll have one more story and that'll be it. But listen to this story. Many of you may know Rabbi Bulman. Rabbi Bulman is a very big Talmud Chacham. Gives a tremendous amount of shiurim in Eretz Yisrael, and for many, many years was the Rav in the Yongizil of Far Rockaway. He told me this story. One time he was giving a shiur in Eretz Yisrael, and a young woman came over to him, and she said to him, "Rabbi, I need a blessing." He said, "I'm not the one to give you a blessing. I'll be happy to listen to your problem, but I'm not the one to give you a blessing. You need a Rav, a Chosh of a Yid. I can teach you Hashkofa, philosophy, Torah, but you need somebody special to give you a blessing." She said, "Rabbi, I don't know anybody. I'm a Balas Tshuva. I have one child. She's 8 years old. I'm looking to have another child, and nothing works. Please, I need a bracha from you." And Rabbi Bulman said, "I feel your pain. I feel terrible for you. I'll tell you who to go to, but I'm not the one that you should get a bracha." She started crying. She said, "Rabbi, I don't know anybody. Please help me." So Rabbi Bulman said to her like this. He opened up his heart and he said, "You know, I have a daughter. She lives in Atlanta. She has no children. I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. You daven for my daughter and I'll daven for you." She was so amazed, this lady, that Rabbi Bulman would open up and tell her such a private thing, that he never has a daughter, has no children. She said, "Okay, Rabbi, I promise you." And she left. And he didn't hear from her. And he didn't even tell his daughter in Atlanta about this. A year went by, 2 years went by, and one day, Rabbi Bulman gets a call from his daughter. She's expecting. He was so ecstatic. He was so happy. After all these years of marriage, they had adopted a child, and now, Baruch Hashem, she was expecting a baby. It turned out that she had a baby 2 weeks late. The first baby born, the pregnancy is usually sometimes overdue, and she had a little girl 2 weeks late. It was a tremendous, tremendous simcha. 4 days after the little girl was born, Rabbi Bulman gets an excited call from this lady who he hadn't heard from in 2 years. And she said, I heard the wonderful news that your daughter had a little girl, and I want to tell you that 4 days ago, I had a little boy. They were both born on the same day. And I met the family in Atlanta. I had the schus to speak in Atlanta. I met Rabbi Bulman's daughter, and we discussed the story. Both of them had babies the exact same day. Rabbi Bulman, only after his daughter gave birth, did he tell her this whole story. What do you see? The truth is that every one of us really wants kavod and needs kavod. All of us want to be recognized. You know the very famous Gemara in Tainus Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, Tchuni Amagel, he fell asleep for so many years, 70 years, and then he came back into the Beis Medrash, and nobody looked at him, and nobody recognized him, and he said, I'm Chuni. And people said, what are you talking about? Chuni died a long time ago. And the Gemara says, they didn't give him the kavod that was coming to him. He got so sick. He was mispalel and he died. And then Rava said four famous words. Either friendship or death. And that's such an important lesson for all of us. Every one of us wants to be loved. Every one of us wants to be recognized. And if we, Taka, want to be loved and recognized, we have to remember that the other person also wants to be loved and recognized. And that's really the reason why the Maral says those Talmidim Nebach passed away during this time. You know why? He writes that Kavod is the Etzem HaChayim. He writes on that Gemara in Yevama Samach Beis where the Talmidim were Nifta. He writes, to give Kavod is giving life. When you give somebody recognition, you make them feel it's worth living. He thinks, I'm somebody special. It's worth living. If nobody looks at me, what's the point? They took away life from each other. They didn't give cover. They didn't recognize each other. And because they took away life, they Nebuch lost their lives. That's what the Maral says. That's why Nebuch, they passed away, because they took away the Etzem HaChayim from each other. So let us remember, before we hear that final great story, let's remember what the Chofetz Chaim teaches us, that we are really all connected. Borei nefoshei rabbis v'chesroina. And that's why we have deficiencies, so that we can be one dependent on the other. Let's remember what Rav Meir Shapiro taught us, Odom Atem, that we are really like one people. Let us remember that Achdus is a prerequisite for Kabbalah Satera v'yichan Shom Yisrael ki'ish echad v'lev echad. Let's remember that the reason that we count 1 to 49 and not 49 down to 1 is because every day we're supposed to go a Madrega higher and higher, and at the end of the 49 days on Shavuos, that's when we say Shechianu. Let's remember that the reason that the Talmidim died, according to Rav Aaron, why they died before Shavuos, is because they didn't give kavod one to the other, and they cannot transmit Torah. That's why they died before Shavuos. And if we want to be Makabel Torah, it has to be not only out learning, but it has to be out kavod zeh b'zeh. Let's remember what Rav Schwab taught us, that before you criticize someone, the person should be sad, not mad, that Hecheach Teichiach is supposed to bring V'yahavta Reecha Kamoicha. Let's remember Al Teichach Leitz, let's not look down at people when we criticize them, but Hecheach L'chocham, let us raise their level and tell them because they're so special, they have to be better. Let us not make our homes a place of terror. Al Yatul Adam Eime Yisera B'Seich Beisai. Let's remember what Rav Aaron teaches us, that how do you become great? By going out, vayigdal ayadei vayetzei. Let's remember what Rav Chaim Shmulevitz taught us, that even though you may be an Adam Godol, if you don't have kavod chaverim, Avraham Avinu is not going to look at us. Adam Hogun and Adam Godol, we need both. Let's remember to say thank you. Zaveach toida yechabdonini. Hashem is telling us, Dor HaMelech is telling us that Hashem's favorite korban is when you say thank you. Let's remember that even if we don't have the funds, and even if we don't have the time, and even if we don't have the money, but the least that we can do is daven for other people. And let's remember that we all really need kavod, and when you're giving kavod one to the other, you're really giving life. I just want to end with this tremendous story. Many, many years ago, there was a woman in Eretz Yisrael that was hanging up her laundry. There was a day that everybody was doing the white laundry, and all of us have seen in Eretz Yisrael how they hang it up on the strings, and she hung it up on a string across a courtyard. She had spent hours cleaning and washing all the sheets. Obviously, they didn't have washing machines in those days. And there was a lady from that chatzer who was a little bit upset. She was a lady that probably wasn't well altogether. She was always in a bad mood. And now these sheets were flapping in the wind in front of where she wanted to walk. She got very angry. She went to her house. She got a scissors and she snapped the cord and all the laundry plopped right into the mud. And the lady whose laundry it was saw it happen. But she didn't say anything. She went and she picked up all the laundry and she went, washed it out again, went to a different chatzer and hung it up. A few days later, the lady with the scissors, her son, Nebuch, got very, very sick. And she became very frightened because it was out of the ordinary. He was a perfectly healthy child. And she ran to her Rav. And the Rav says, you know, the Gemara says that in case, chas v'shalom, something bad happens, a person has to look into his ma'asim. What have you done lately? What did you do? Something out of the ordinary. She says, Rabbi, I didn't do anything. Just think, what did you do? Is there anything that you did? And she says, oy vey, I remember Taka, I was in a bad mood, and I cut that lady's laundry. He says, you must run right away to her house and have to ask her for mechila. So she ran to the house, and the lady wasn't there, but her husband was there. And she said, you know, I did a terrible thing. I cut off the laundry line, and all the laundry fell down. And I want to ask for mechila. He says, I'm sorry, you have the wrong house. She says, what do you mean? I know that it was your wife. He said, it's impossible. See, why do you say it's impossible? Because my wife didn't tell me anything. My wife, such, if somebody would have done something like that, my wife truly would have told me. She didn't say anything. So she goes back to the Rav. And she says, I know that it was that lady. And now the husband says that I have the wrong house because she didn't even say anything. So the Rav said, the fact that she didn't say anything is even a greater thing that she didn't even say anything to you. Imagine she didn't even tell to her husband something that somebody did an avla to her because she wanted to save your covet and your honor. He says, I know that lady. I just hope the Avisha should bless her with a child that will light up the world. That lady never had any children before she had numerous miscarriages. That lady had only one child. That child is Rabbi Yosef. The Gadol HaDor in Eretz Yisrael is a Ben Yochid. His mother is the one who did not say anything when somebody ba'aveled her. And when I thought of that story, I was wondering, why was she zeicha to have such a child? Why was she zeicha to life? And I believe the Maral taught us why. Because the Maral taught us that when you give kavod to someone, you're giving them life. She gave kavod. She didn't even say anything to her husband. So the Eibishter blessed her with life. And what a life. A life that has lit up and should continue to light up the world. The Eibishter should help that all of us should begin from tonight trying to become ba'achdus, trying to be connected, so that we'll come to Shavuos with Freilich HaHertzah, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. I thank you again for inviting me, and I thank you for listening.